This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. Senior U.S. and Chinese officials concluded their talks in Alaska Friday after a dramatic opening round laid bare the depth of tensions between the world's two largest economies at the outset of the Biden administration. Speaking to reporters, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the U.S. had been clear-eyed coming into the talks. The Chinese delegation did not speak to reporters afterwards, and the run-up to the talks in Anchorage, which followed visits by U.S. officials to allies Japan and South Korea, was marked by a flurry of moves by Washington that showed that it was taking a tough stance, as well as by blunt talk from Beijing, warning the United States to discard illusions that it would compromise. U.S. President Joe Biden met with Asian American leaders in the state of Georgia to address the fatal shootings of eight people and denounce racism and hate. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The president says it's heart-wrenching to hear the fear of Asian Americans who've been vilified and attacked because of COVID-19. And regardless of whether it was hate or sex or something else, behind the Georgia spa killings,
hate can have no safe harbor in America. It must stop.
And urged Congress to pass a COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act. Biden offered sympathy to the victims' families and lamented the manner of death.
Another example of the public health crisis of gun violence.
Vice President Harris spoke of the long, sad history of racism against Asian Americans.
Xenophobia is real in America and always has been. Sexism, too.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
And this is VOA News. Protesters against Brazil's president have defied police in the capital a day after the latest round of arrests of the leader's critics under a dictatorship-era national security law. Friday's demonstrators carried a banner calling President Jair Bolsonaro genocidal for his handling of the pandemic and displayed a cartoon depicting him as a Nazi. The day before, officers detained four people for similar actions using the 1983 security law that says it is a crime to harm the heads of the country's three branches of government. There have been previously news making charges against prominent critics of the president, but the law is increasingly being employed against ordinary citizens, and lawyers are expressing alarm that the tactic is becoming commonplace. Four men prosecutors describe as leaders of the Proud Boys have been indicted on charges that they planned and carried out a coordinated attack on the U.S. Capitol to stop Congress from certifying U.S. President Joe Biden's electoral victory. AP correspondent Ben Thomas.
Prosecutors have said the Proud Boys arranged for members to communicate using specific frequencies on radios that can use hundreds of them, making it difficult for outsiders to eavesdrop. But a federal judge accused prosecutors of backtracking on claims that one of the four directed a strategic plan to breach the Capitol. U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell said the case she heard was a far cry from that. However, she did conclude that Ethan Nordine of Washington State was extensively involved in pre-planning and that he and other Proud Boys were clearly prepared for a violent confrontation. Ben Thomas, Washington.
As residents in Myanmar continue protests against the junta that overthrew the elected government in February, garment workers there are urging major international brands to denounce the recent military coup there and put more pressure on factories to protect workers from being fired or harassed, or worse, arrested and killed for participating in the protest. Major brands like H&M and Mango increasingly flocked to Myanmar in search of cheap labor as the Southeast Asian country began moving toward democracy over the past decade. Now those brands face a conundrum that's whether to stay or pull out. At stake are the livelihoods of more than 600,000 garment workers who have been at the forefront of the pro-democracy demonstrations. Again, residents of Myanmar continue to protest against the a violent junta that overthrew the elected government in February, but garment workers now are urging major international brands to denounce the recent military coup. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to Music Time in Africa. I'm your host, Heather Maxwell, broadcasting from Voice of America Home Studios in Washington. Are you ready to get your Pan-African groove on? I hope so, because I've got an awesome show for you today. Did you know that International Women's Day is celebrated around the world on Monday, March 8th? Well, it is. And every year it has a theme. And this year, the theme is Choose to Challenge. So, my challenge is to rock this whole hour with incredible music and stories by African women. So, I dug into my audio archives and pulled the best music interviews from 2012, that's the year I started hosting this show, up to the present. And now I'm presenting you with this extraordinary hour of music listening. It rocks. And you're going to be so proud and amazed at the contribution that these women have made and continue making to African music. Who's featured in today's show? Okay, we've got live music and conversation highlights from Sona Jubate, Umu Sangare, Zap Mama, Stella Mwangi, Amara Brown, and Lena Bahule. Also sprinkled in throughout the show, we're just jamming to great tunes by other female artists, Zuchu, Simi, Aster Aweke, and Aya Nakamura. So that's it. That's today's show. Let's rock this out. We begin in the Gambia with its premier artist and first female kora master, Sona Jubate. This is her biggest hit, Gambia. Hey everyone, Heather here. So that's Sona Jubate's Gambia. Now, Sona is an accomplished composer. She sings and scores music soundtracks for award-winning films such as The Motherland and Mandela, The Long Walk to Freedom. But she's also a trailblazer in modernizing the 700-year-old tradition of music making in West Africa known as Djelia. She explains more in this excerpt of our conversation, recorded June 5th, 2018. I started out by asking her what brings her to Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm here for the inaugural Africa Day Symposium at the World Bank in Washington. So I'm here mainly to give a presentation on the work that I'm doing in the Gambia and also finishing it with a little performance with an acoustic version of my ensemble.
You're in the middle of a larger summer 2018 tour. How has that been going?
It's been going great. You know, it's been amazing to be exposed to new audiences, I would say, particularly obviously making a debut in the U.S. So that's been something that I've really enjoyed. And I think it's just the start of, hopefully, the start of a new area in the world. But it's been great experiencing different audiences and different receptions from different sides of the world.
The big wow factor for most people. You are the first female kora virtuoso to come out of West Africa to play professionally. Can you break that down for us just a little bit, starting with what is a griot? for those who don't know?
Well, a griot is part of a very old tradition which dates back to the 13th century when the Mali Empire was at its strongest day. And since then, there has been the formalization of this tradition, which has then now become hereditary to be passed down within certain families. And the Djibati family is one of these griot families, which they have the exclusive right to play certain instruments that belong to the griot. And it's associated with the empire building. It's associated with a lot of the nationalism, which is why people have so much pride in the griot tradition still now, because it gives you those feelings of, you know, being part of something that has predated Gambia, Senegal, Guinea, and all these separate countries. It brings back the memories of when all of that was actually unified as part of this Mali Empire, and the traditions were shared. So it has a huge power, even though the Mali Empire and its effluence, of course, has long gone. This tradition still carries the feeling and the sense of belonging and the sense of identity, which is so important to people of West Africa. So the Mandeng Empire is still very much, the music is very much an identifying factor of this tradition. So it's a hereditary tradition. Band. We have an interesting group, and it's partly what I was working towards so hard was I did not want, what people would expect. I wanted to create an ensemble who could bring another sense of musicality to the group. So we have two of the musicians are from Jamaica, in Jamaican origins, one from Senegal, and one from St. Lucia. So we have like an interesting natural expression that goes on in the group, but it's taken a lot of time also for those who are not rooted in this tradition to make those connections and to be able to express freely within a tradition which is quite specific. So that has taken a lot of time and development.
So how is it that you got interested in playing the kora specifically, since that was probably more of a challenge than it would have been, say, to just sing or do another instrument that women traditionally do?
Yeah, well, again, it was my fortune to have the kora in my hands from such a young age, because my brother was studying with my father when he was young. And there's a big age gap between us, so he started to teach me when I was like around 4 years old. My brother, right. And I had shown like interest, just like my son, shown a lot of interest in music from when I was very young. So by the time I got to when I start to understand what is it that I want to do musically with my career, I had so much foundation in the kora, and going through so many different other traditions, other instruments, and other modes of expression, it was the only one that still had this purity with me that I could connect with and that I felt I was free in. I didn't have to try to be something. It was the only thing I could just be me, and it was what it was. So when I was 17, I decided I want to go and study with my father. I want to learn the older repertoire. I want to know some more of the repertoire from my grandfather's generation. So I took the time out to go and study with him, and that's really where the turning point was in terms of this is now what I have to continue with.
All right. Hey, everybody. You just heard Sona Djibati from the Gambia talking with me back on June 5th, 2018 about her debut tour in the U.S. and her trailblazing path in music as the first female kora master from the Gambia. Happy International Women's Day. We are celebrating African women in music all hour long with lots of clips like the one you just heard. But first, let's rock to Joromi by Simi.
Joromi, Joromi, I want you to love me. Joromi, baby.
Joromi, Joro.
Kilode, Kilode. Why you know they call me? Kilode, baby.
Kilode, Joro.
And I give you signal.
Joromi.
Why you know they see me?
Joromi.
I give you green light to tire. I'ma kill on Babu, oh. Then you know they fumble, oh.
Johnny.
I go shoot my shot, yo, Joro. So, Joro, baby, take my number.
Take my number.
You know
And you're listening to
Music Time in Africa
on Voice of America with Heather Maxwell.
All right, so here is another amazing female vocal artist, Marie Dawn. You might know her better as Zap Mama. Since 1991, Marie has released 8 albums, toured the world over several times, and worked with American icons like Erykah Badu, Al Jarreau, Talib Kweli, Common, and South African legend Miriam Makeba. I met Marie on a sunny afternoon, September 12th, I remember that because that's my birthday, 2017, in her living room in Brussels, Belgium. We spoke for over an hour, and she performed an amazing vocal improvisation using a loop machine. Here are some highlights.
Hello, Marie.
Hello.
It's very nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Now, you were born in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Mm-hmm. I'm born in Congo East, where all the trouble is now, but always been. And we arrived in a catastrophe here in Belgium because my father is a Belgian and my mom she's a Congolese. Then we had to escape. At that time, late 60s, it was like, what is African and what the TV and what the books said about Africa? Especially the Congolese, we are the colonial and we're going to help those poor African. And then this is the way they supposed, but they didn't really went there. They saw a woman with 4 kids with a lot of courage and power, and they were amazed by her and helped her to be herself and integrate the Belgian world. And my mom kept at home this traditional of women, and a lot of very good advice to be free. That was my education to that amazing woman who passed away now in 2014. And I received a lot from her and a lot from my Belgian family too. For me, it is the basic of the power of my music.
What musical artists inspired you in the beginning?
My first love was jazz music, because Al Jarreau was the first person who got it because of this cat. He was my inspiration.
Sometimes if you, words and music get a little bit mixed together, and you don't know quite what to say.
Miriam Makeba supported me a lot in the beginning. She was here, I was composing, I was like this student who loved voice. And I sing to her and I say, come to my place. And she starts singing and teach me and help me to write some lyrics. And straight away invite me to opening her show, that I spend a lot of time with her.
Wow, can you remember the song that you
did? Gusapela.
How does it sound?
Kusapela kulungile benatuitando. Oh, kusapela kulungile. It's an a cappella song.
Passer les fonds. right. Hi, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that archive clip of Zap Mama speaking with me from Brussels, Belgium. For more of that interview and that live improv I mentioned that we didn't get to hear in this clip, you can go to my Facebook page or my YouTube channel and watch it there.
Hi, this is Lyra from South Africa, and you're listening to Music Time in Africa with Heather Maxwell.
All right, so here's Zuchu from Tanzania with her current smash hit, Sukari. And after that, more great music and conversation, all made by African women and the diaspora. Happy International Women's Day.
Ila itampoteza ikipanda ni bala
dogo
ikishuka ndo hatari
dogo
asijepata madhara
dogo
akaikosa na
dogo
ladha yake msala
dogo
shira ya Kizanzibari
dogo
na misimu imewala akitaka nampa aisukari
nampatia
sugar
Sukari by Zuchu. Hey guys, how y'all doing?
You're inside Music Time in Africa.
In honor of International Women's Day, we are rocking to nothing but music made by women of Africa and the diaspora. And we're getting to know a few of them from clips of archived interviews. We've already met Sona Jobate, Zap Mama, and now Norwegian, Kenyan singer, rapper, and entrepreneur Stella Mwangi. Now, Stella made history in 2011 with a song called Haba Haba, and she just keeps on rising, even during COVID times, specifically with music synchronization in Hollywood's TV and film industry and in console gaming. This is Not Your Ordinary, her 2019 track for the dance rhythm game, Just Dance.
Riding in the city like the name is P. Diddy. Still getting popping with my girl since a kitty. I see you checking up on me like you needy. I shake my thing, make them yappy Swahili. Wabi ya macho mani eke pili pili. Niko maji maji si giri giri. Boy, I could fit, he can giri giri. Kakitu kwenye kadi, she got credit credit. Credit, credit. I'm in the real jungle, no Katy Perry. No shackles on my feet like Mary Mary. Had to stay very, very, cause I'm heavy, heavy. Ooh. Remember, I'm not your ordinary. Remember, I'm not your ordinary.
All right, guys, so that's the sound of Stella Mwangi today. Now let's listen in to a clip of the interview I had with her in November 2020. I in Washington and she in Oslo, where she tells us how she got her historic start in Norway. Hello, Stella. How are you?
What's up, Heather?
So you're in Oslo, Norway?
Yes, in the ice-cold Oslo right now.
I want to revisit the past for just a minute, because in 2011, as you know very well, you made history with your song and your music video and your performance, Haba Haba. So let's take a listen to that. We'll come back and I want to ask you how that has changed your life.
When as a little girl, my grandma told me that I could be just anything that I wanted to. When as a little girl, my grandma told me that I could be just anything that I wanted to. She said that everything I work for, everything I wish for, everything I look for, everything I look for, it is right in front of me. And she said,
know, that song still, it's so precious to me, you know. It's so dear to me because those are wisdom words from my grandparents, yes, from the elders in my family, saying that, because I've always been someone who always rushed things, you know, and they've always been like, just take step by step by step. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you know, your glass is already full, you know.
Well, you made history with Eurovision Song Contest. You were the first Black woman, as an African woman, as a Kenyan woman, to be singing in the contest in an East African language, right? And it was the first time that Norway had an African woman representing Norway.
You know, I came here with my family in 92 as a political refugee, but they hadn't seen so many, you know, foreigners at all, so I was going through the hardest time of my life. But the most beautiful thing is that this contest, they're actually, you know, it's people voting. And in my year, it was like a record of how many people were voting, because, you know, Norway really proved the rest of the world that, you know, music, it's not about color, it's not about any of that, it's about the feeling that you're giving to and the honesty that you're giving to. And that was just history.
Hello world, my name is Buyala, the Lioness of Africa, and you are listening to Music Time in Africa with Heta Maxwell. Keep it locked.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed meeting Stella Mwangi. There is more amazing music and conversation with female artists of Africa and the diaspora. In fact, we're about to enjoy 15 minutes of a non-interrupted live music session from 2012, recorded at VOA Studios in Washington with Acoustic Africa 3. That's Dobe Nyahore, Karis Fotso, and Manu Gallo. But first, let's slow down and enjoy a few minutes of the living legend, Aster Aweke, and her song, Chewa. You are a respectful and well-behaved guy, she sings. Even animals notice.
Deep a mud core, so much of a
And that was Aster Awike with Jewa, the title track from her 2019 album. I'm Heather Maxwell, and it is International Women's Day, March 8th.
Yeah.
And to celebrate, we are rocking to music by women all hour long, right here on Music Time in Africa. Now, let's jump into this archive recording of a music interview from 2012 on the Music Time in Africa set at VOA with Acoustic Africa 3. The clip is 15 minutes long, so settle in and enjoy.
Hello, hello. I'm Manu Gallo. I'm bass player and singer.
And where are you from?
I'm from Ivory Coast.
Okay. All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Dobe Nyaore. I come from Ivory Coast too. And I'm singer, dancing, I dance, I play percussions, and voila, all.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Karis Fotu. I'm from Cameroon. Guitar player, singer.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Manu!
Yeah.
What are you going to sing for us?
Nalingiyo, qui parle de l'amour. Ça veut dire je t'aime. Le monde a tellement besoin d'amour. Le monde a tellement besoin de chaleur. Donc voilà. C'est une manière pour moi de parler d'amour. Et,
yes. Voilà. Is this in French or English? No, not English.
Non,
French,
c'est en Lingala.
Lingala.
Susiki yakamo kili yakamimo pele na pele ni kolo manaka na kondiso na susiki na moleli kalendio na kanga na molili
Oh,
Dobe.
Yes.
Do you have something for us?
Yeah, I have one song for you.
What is the name of the song?
Samahani.
Samahani,
yeah. Samahani means forgive me. I singing in Swahili language.
Now, you're from Ivory Coast, but you're singing in Swahili.
I singing in many languages from Africa. I grew up in the Pan-African village in our Ivory Coast. C'est mon habitude.
Okay, it's what you like. Okay, wonderful. Mm.
Yes.
What do you have?
A nice song for you.
Great.
The name of my song is Lomjia. Mm-hmm. Lomjia in Bamileke tribe mean marriage. But in this song, I'm talking about the first marriage. Because in Cameroon, and I'm sure in all places in Africa, there is many teenagers who are obliged to leave school to marry with someone they don't love.
Girls.
And always is someone more old than her. Yeah, but she's obliged to do it.
So you are singing that you do not want that?
I say no, no, no.
I think I heard a little bit of English in that song. Did I?
Yeah, normally the original song is "False Mariage, C'est pas bon" is in French. Uh-huh. But I did it in English since I'm here because I need people to understand what I'm saying.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm your Inside Music Time in Africa. Stay locked in with Heather right here on Music Time in Africa.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Did you enjoy that studio interview and performance by Acoustic Africa 3? Man, I sure did. Well, listen, we are not done celebrating International Women's Day. I've got three more amazing artists for us. There's Amara Brown, Lena Bahule, and Umu Sangare. So let's dig right in. Here's Amara and I in Harare in 2018. Now, we're talking about how she manages her career in respect to her late father and world music icon, Andy Brown, and his legacy. And then she performs a beautiful live acoustic performance of her song, Next Lifetime, to the Imbira.
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm fine. It's so great to meet you in person.
It's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. So you come from a family background of amazing musicians, your father especially, the late Andy Brown. How do you feel like you're falling in the lineage in terms of being your own unique artist and also carrying on the name of the Brown family?
Yeah. My dad was very much a world music artist. Mm-hmm. And that was his strong suit, and he owned it. Me, as this Afropop artist, what was important was just to be the best version of myself. And my father loved that. He respected that. He treasured that. He supported that. But it was very tricky when he passed away because Zimbabwe expected a female version. However, my story is different. My father grew up in a village. I grew up in the city. I'm different. I'm a female. I'm an Afropop artist. The messages that I have to sing about are different. I always pay tribute. I perform his music ever so often. We have his legacy now to uphold, but I'm also creating my own and contributing to the family name more so than anything else, but with my own shoes to fill and grow.
Tell me about your top song, Achilles.
Yes. A couple of months prior to releasing the album, I was in a relationship and we had a fight and I felt really used. And I looked around me and I realized that, you know, in African culture and particularly in Zimbabwean culture, it's very strange to have a woman in power. And it's been amazing. It landed up Song of the Year. The video did the most. We debuted it on a major station across the continent and it's done fantastic online. And I'm very glad with the stats. We're going on 500,000, so I'm super, super proud right now in a space of just over a month. It's done great.
You play the Imbira.
Yes.
It's your traditional side.
Yes.
Yes, and that was Amara Brown with Me in Harare, Zimbabwe from 2018. I'm Heather Maxwell, and we are rocking to the sounds and the stories of women today. Next up is Lena Bahule. Now, this clip is from a conversation I had with her in Maputo, 2019.
My given name is Elena Eneida Paz Bahule, and my popular name is Lena Bahule. I'm a singer, and I research about vocal music, body music, and also a little bit with the more global, contemporary, Western kind of approach. Due to the whole colonial process, like, my parents sort of got away from the mother language, and they didn't really like teach us to speak any mother language from here. And that was a big issue. I was like, oh my God, I only sing in English and Portuguese.
So how did you resolve that problem?
I started listening to a lot of Pan-African mother languages. And then to get used to that articulation of it, to get used to the sound of it, understand like the intonation of it. And then I started creating words that sounded like African languages. Language is not just a language, it says all about the culture and how people live. That's why my research came to the body, because I was like, okay, I don't speak my mother language, but how does my body can speak that language? To Brazil, like when you're far from home, people want to know who are you and what are your roots, you know?
Do you have any albums out?
I do. I have two. My first one is called Nomadi, and it talks about like meetings, like it's nomadness. So I left home and I'm always like transitioning between home and diaspora.
What was your best song on that album?
My best song? I love them all.
What one did most people like the most?
A lot of people listen to the Kungo one. Haya Kungo, Kungo, Haya Kungeke. Haya Kungo, Kungo, Haya Kungo. We are more, tis a mali ukuse matuma. Ulambo zea.
All right. Hello, everyone. That was Lena Bahule from Mozambique. So, guys, there's time for one more amazing woman to celebrate. And that woman is Umu Sangare. Now, Umu is a Grammy Award winner for world music. She has released 9 albums throughout her career and most recently featured on Beyoncé's visual album, Black is King. She's also a fierce women's rights activist. So she got stuck in the Washington, D.C. area due to COVID, and I was able to have a one-on-one conversation with her. This was back in August, and it was at an outdoor party given in her honor. So we're going to listen to the clip of that where she explains how current French superstar Aya Nakamura symbolizes the immense and long-term impact that Umu's music has had on African women's empowerment since the late 1980s. We start by listening to a little excerpt of Umu's beautiful music, and then we get straight to the interview. Ne dia nyemo ni mirimanyu ine filani interi jarabi manyi
Hello, Umu. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Anna.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you, me too.
I know you are a big advocate for women. You mm-hmm. always have been.
Mm-hmm.
From when you first came out with Bifuru, which means, you know, marriage today,
mm-hmm.
and talked about marriage and frankly about problems and issues with women, how have things changed or developed since then, almost 30 years ago?
It helped women a lot, and it continues to help them because I excited them to believe in themselves, in singing and in working. So all of a sudden, I can say that it had an effect because many young girls, many women say, I really want to be like Umu Sangare. When I hear everything that she says in her songs, it gives me energy, it gives me the courage, and also I see what she herself does in life. I want to be like Umu Sangare.
Me too.
Yeah.
Moi aussi.
Even the singer, there's a Malian singer who was raised in France, Aya Nakamura.
Yes.
Elle a papi mais qui passa. J'entends des bails atroces sur moi. À ce qui paraît, je te cours après. Mais ça va pas m'aider t'arrêter. Mais comment ça?
Today, I was so surprised to discover that all of her inspiration comes from me, even to the point that she sang, I want to be, I am like Umu Sangare. So while making the clip, they gave me the crown, and I gave it to her saying, here, take the queen's crown. You are the queen now. Go on, go on, like Umu Sangare. So all of that to say that I couldn't imagine that in France, the kids that are there, who are they themselves, because I received letters of encouragement from so many people in Africa, but I didn't think that even those who don't speak my language, because they don't speak Bambara well at all, the kids born in Europe. But I didn't know that their consciousness was turned toward me. So it encouraged me. And I see that it's the result of this struggle since the beginning. And it gives me the courage to continue with this fight.
Umu Sangare, c'était vraiment un grand plaisir.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Yes, and with the sounds of Umu Sangare and protege Aya Nakamura, it is time to say goodbye. Thank you all for joining me, and happy International Women's Day.